Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. This Friday kicked off the 2022 New York Human Rights Watch Film Festival, which has returned to in-person events as well as streaming online. The festival, as always, focuses on features and documentaries that shed light on various issues of social justice, from reproductive rights to free speech to climate activism. We've already spoken with the directors of The Janes, a documentary about an underground abortion group in Chicago pre-Roe v. Wade. And tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll speak to the directors behind the films Rebellion and You Resemble Me, which are screening as part of the festival. But today, we're going to get a preview of some of the other incredible thought-provoking films available to screen and stream. The Human Rights Watch Film Festival runs through Thursday. To find tickets for in-person and virtual events, head to ff.hrw.org. That's ff.hrw.org. And joining me now to discuss the films is John Biagi, director of the Human Rights Watch Festival. Hi, John.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for having me.
I did want to ask you, we've already spoken, as I mentioned, about The Janes, and we're going to talk about Rebellion and You Resemble Me later down the road. So let's talk about a few other films. Clarissa's Battle, which is from director Tamara Perkins. It's a documentary that follows one subject closely, a solo parent and an organizer named Clarissa. What is Clarissa fighting for?
Well, Clarissa is an amazing, she's an unstoppable activist. I was just with her last night. She's in town. And she's a single mother who's fighting for childcare in Oakland, California. But it's not just Oakland, California. It goes much larger than that. And what's amazing about this film and Clarissa is the filmmakers, they took the journey with her. They spent 10 years on this film.
Wow.
And that's the time it took for Clarissa and her group to pass legislation for childcare in Oakland. And that bill has become a model for other states in the country who have picked it up and made their own versions of it. So it's just a tale of, you know, wonderful perseverance through activism and actually getting something done in the political system, which, as you know, is so divided and so difficult to get things through. And it's a remarkable film.
Let's listen to a little bit of the trailer for Clarissa's Battle.
It is time for a change, y'all. I'm tired of being tired, of being tired, of being tired. I am sick of being tired. No matter where your zip code is, no matter what school you sign up to, every single child deserves to have the same quality education.
Bye, yeah. Honey. Have a good day, okay?
I will.
I'll see you in a little while.
Good morning. Good morning.
My work in Oakland really began when I realized that there were 5,000 primarily African-American mothers on the waiting list.
I wasn't ready to stop working. I wasn't ready to give up my housing, you know.
Right.
But it was things that I had to do for the stability and security of the child.
That's the trailer from Clarissa's Battle. That's such a compelling story. When you were looking at films, I mean, gosh, it must be hard, first of all. But what are you looking for when you're putting together a slate?
Yeah, we're looking for a number of things. I mean, clearly we're looking for a really strong film with a really strong story arc and well-developed film participants. You know, rounded, real people on screen. It's really important to us because we want the audience to take the journey with them and to empathize and to see how, like, one person can make a difference and to feel that themselves and feel empowered. So that's, like, number one. Then also, because we're Human Rights Watch, factual accuracy is central to what we do. So all the films have to be vetted by someone at Human Rights Watch who works on these issues and can tell us, okay, this film is good, or this film is too biased, you know, or there's some factual problems. And we go through approximately 600 human rights films a year doing that.
My guest is John Biagi, director of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, which is running through May 26. Tonight, there is a screening at 6:30 of the film Midwives and a Q&A after. It tells the story of two midwives, one Buddhist, one Muslim, who are working together in Myanmar in a Rohingya Muslim population. What do we learn from this documentary? What does this documentary shed light on?
It's a beautifully produced documentary, and it sheds light on let me just say the filmmakers, they took many risks to film this documentary over 5 years amid an environment of ever increasing chaos and violence against the Rohingya population, which is a Muslim minority community in Myanmar. And the film focuses on the very complicated friendship of two midwives, one Buddhist and one Muslim Rohingya, who work side by side in a makeshift clinic providing medical services to pregnant women. And it's just a remarkable story because it shows all the gray areas of friendship. You know, it's not a simple, I mean, there are tensions, and the Buddhist woman is, you know, she is racist, or she has some problems with her friend. She calls her name sometimes, but she also loves her very much. And so it's a really complicated relationship. And she also helps her put together her own clinic at a certain point in the film. And it's just a beautiful story of how two women persevere in a war zone and are on different sides of, you know, the issue and the crisis.
And tell us a little bit about the director. I believe she's from Myanmar as well.
She is. Snow Hin A Lang is from Myanmar, and she's actually from the town that she films this story in. So she knows this story very intimately, and it totally shows up on screen. You can feel that there's a real bond and there's a real trust. She spent months with these women beforehand. She was saying to me yesterday that, you know, when she first came, and this happens often with documentary filmmakers, they come and they want to tell a story, and the people there are very leery because they've had TV crews come, and a TV crew comes for 10 minutes. They don't get to know you. They couldn't really care less who you are. You're just a thing that they need to film to make their TV program. And people are tired of that. And so they thought she was a journalist and was just going to be there for a day. And she was like, no, I'm here for the long haul. And it took a few months for them to realize, oh, she really is interested in us and our story. And she stayed there while there was bombings nearby. She stayed there while it was very dangerous. And her producer was saying he was constantly trying to get her to leave, but she wanted to complete the story. And it's really a remarkable piece.
That is called The Midwives, screening tonight at 6:30 p.m. There's a film called Up to a G-Cup about the first lingerie store in northern Iraq. It is screened tonight at 9 p.m. and Wednesday at 9 p.m. The store is really about more than selling undergarments, for sure. What does this store represent to the women who work there and to the customers?
Yeah, this film, when I first saw it, I just thought it was such a remarkable and a different way of approaching a story. And I just thought we need to show this film. Basically, it's northern Iraq, first lingerie store in Sulaymaniyah, in the Kurdish autonomous region of Iraq. And it's a meeting place for women to speak candidly about their lives and the challenges they face. And the filmmaker got really in there very deeply with her film subjects. They basically, they're very brave, these women, and they're women from different parts of, you know, of different cultures in Iraq. There's Kurdish women, there's Yazidi women, and they reveal like the challenges that they're facing in a male-dominated society, in a patriarchal society, and also, you know, their own, many of them have suffered through war. You know, there's been incidents of rape, and also there've been medical problems, and you know, there some of them talk about those. It's really something special, and I hope people come and see this one.
We are talking about the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. I'm speaking with this director, John Biagi. I did want to ask you about the New Greatness case, which is screaming tomorrow night at 9 and Wednesday at 6:30. It is focused on Russia's treatment of dissidents, correct?
Absolutely. This film, it couldn't be more timely with the current crackdown on dissent and free expression in Russia. It's screening tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday. Film participants has just flown in from Russia, and he's a journalist there, and it's going to be a remarkable discussion. He's going to be here for both of those. And basically, it's the story. We meet Anna, who's a young Russian woman who is part of a group of like-minded young Russians who discuss politics and social issues. And the group is infiltrated by a member of the Russian Secret Service. And this man quickly takes over the group and pushes it towards direct physical action. I mean, we've seen these kinds of things in the U.S. too with the FBI. It's all too familiar. And what it results in is the whole group is arrested. All these young people, they're put through these kangaroo trials, which are shocking to watch. They don't even get to defend themselves. Their lawyers don't get to say a thing. The judge just runs through it and has them locked up. And then the other remarkable thing is, in the course of the film, Anna's mother transforms from being a loyal supporter of Putin to a hunger strike enacting political activist. And it's a remarkable transformation within 90 minutes.
There are so many great films to see and screen and stream. Check it out. The Human Rights Watch Film Festival. You should head to ff.hrw.org for more information. The festival runs through May 26th. I've been speaking with its director, John Biaggi. John, thank you so much for giving us a preview.
Oh, thanks so much, Allison. I appreciate it.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.